Good day and welcome to At the Still Point, where medicine meets the sacred. I'm Dr. Ryan, here with Shaman Steve, and welcome back, listeners, to our weekly podcast, where we discuss the intersection between medicine and spirituality. And this week's lens is focusing on love beyond loss. And we're going to be talking about grief today, not as experts in grief, but as grieving people, trying to share some experience, strength, and hope, and maybe some practices that will help soften the blow of some of these very human emotions that we find ourselves dealing with today. And we welcome you here with all parts of yourselves, the grumpy ones, the uncomfortable ones, the ones that wish you weren't having to navigate this space. And Shaman Steve, it's wonderful to see you.
It's good to see you too. How are you doing, Ryan?
I am having a lovely week, and I'm a little tired today and feeling a lot of feelings. It's been interesting. How about yourself?
Definitely going through it. We're bringing up the topic of grief, and I can say that I'm going through it. What better time to talk about it and put it into words, sometimes the things that we think we can't, and feel it and lean into that feeling again, and just trying to navigate all of the questions that come with grief, the what ifs, even when bouncing around the different stages of grief and dealing with loss. I lost my dog over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, Steve, I'm so sorry. Whew. Rocco was one of the best dogs I've ever known.
He was an awesome guy. I loved my little dog, and it is definitely hard as you go through all of the feels, the whole denial of everything, of just feeling
shock, disconnection.
Yeah. And then getting to a little bit of anger with myself, I think is probably where it happens, because what could I have done differently? Why didn't I do those things?
That's such a normal feeling. Yeah. And it's so common. That's the first thing that people seem to ask, right? After tragedy happens.
Yeah. And that one keeps popping back up. And that helps with, that's part of the little bit of the what if. The what if is also at the point where we start searching for a meaning. And then that's where we're trying to understand. But at the same time, that's if I would have done this differently. What if I would have done that differently? And now you're questioning every step of your day or days leading up to that. And then you start looking back even farther going, okay, was there something else I missed? Were there other signs that something could or did happen? And then you get into a lot of it is just emptiness. And some people say it's just an animal. It's just a dog. To some, it might be. But he was my best friend for the whole time I had him.
Yeah, years.
Yeah. It was all the time, every day. So it's just, he was a loved one to me. And just because he wasn't in human form doesn't make the loss or the grief or the feelings any less real or any less human. And it's part of the human experience and part of the human existence. But it does bring us to a lot of questions. And then it's hard to explain sometimes without really getting upset, especially when it's this raw.
And I don't think we need to justify that feeling as being bad or wrong, because the reason we grieve is one of the most important things I like to talk about, is because we loved another being so damn much that we cannot imagine, our heart literally breaks imagining our life without them. And that, my friend, is dearly holy, I think.
Yeah. That in just every way that you can remember that they touched your life throughout the time that you had with them.
Yes. And the gratitude we can hold in one hand, and we can also hold that tragedy, that hurt, and that part that we want to quickly move through that I think you named so beautifully as the emptiness or the void.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that void, just it leaves just this total empty spot. And for me, I was called to really feel everything with this loss. And so I'm taking a slower way, my own way, through the process, because I know the next step, and it's that void. And that void we have to step into. For me, it's really stepping into, especially as shamanic practitioner, it gives me a chance to step into a sacred place for me and fill that void with transformation. And so what can I learn from this, you know, from the feelings, from the experiences, from everything, that, you know, not just through this loss, but then I can use other losses throughout my life.
And this loss is an echo of all the previous losses. That's one of the things I'd like to touch on, is when was the first grief? It was our moment of conception, probably. It was our moment of separation from the oneness, when our energy individuated. Definitely there was a big loss when we separated from our mothers.
Yeah.
And our whole entire lives are tied up with this loss. It's honestly the only thing that makes us fully human or fully animal, I think. Plant is that that's the one true thing is death and taxes, right?
Yeah. Those are the only two things you can guarantee are coming for you.
And your moment earlier, Steve, thank you again for sharing your story. It reminded me of a quote from Francis Weller, one of my favorite authors on grief. He says in his Wild Edge of Sorrow, "Every one of us has grief. When we feel hesitant or uncertain of our worthiness to touch our sorrow, knowing that there are doorways offers us a way to connect with our wounds, our losses, and our disappointments. All too often we deny our grief because it is not as severe as someone else's. How can we possibly compare our sorrows to those who are suffering the horrors of war or the devastation brought about by tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, or intolerable poverty? It's easy to dismiss our own grief when we compare it to circumstances we consider to be much worse than our own. But the grief is ours, and we must treat it as worthy of attention. In fact, it's essential for us to welcome our grief, whatever form it takes. When we do, we open ourselves to the shared experiences in life. Grief is our common bond. Opening to us, our sorrow connects us with everyone everywhere. There is no gesture of kindness that is wasted, no offering of compassion that is useless. And we can be generous to every sorrow we see. That, he says, is sacred work."
Very well put.
You mentioned the stages, Steve. Do you want to talk a little bit about those and how that's been navigating? You mentioned the initial stage, the denial. And this is from our friend Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was an MD who studied grief, and she named 5 stages, but also was very important to say that these stages are nonlinear and you may coexist in some at the same time. Like sometimes we classify these, and a lot of therapists I know use these to help people understand where they are in their grieving journey, but just make sure you use these as more of a pirate's code to grief. Do you know the pirate's code? They're more like general guidelines.
That's right,
as opposed to, yeah.
So, I was like trying to think, I'm like, was it in the song or was it a movie quote?
See, any of the rules and suggestions we give you for grieving are coming out of a place of someone who's learning to navigate grief. And I think that if we can see that grief is not a problem to be fixed, but a part of the experience to be experienced, that then we can help get to that place that you were talking about, Steve, which is the transformation that comes through this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sure a muddy, steep, nasty slope or dark pit of despair sometimes.
It can be. And that's where some people get lost in some of these emotions or some of these stages. Because, you know, you brought up the denial. You know, that's you know, the shock or disconnection stage with your loss. So that's the numbness or the disbelief, or it didn't really happen. This must be a dream. I can't believe this is happening. You know, that all those questions and those things that it just come about. And sometimes that shock can lead us to some dark places.
And it interrupts your physiology. The shock is what knocks the breath out of you. And really, it lands in the diaphragm.
Yeah.
In that big muscle in between your chest and your belly. And that is the place that it hits you right there. And it locks up the heart chakra and the solar plexus too.
Yeah. So, and it's a lot easier to say to go through these things when you're going as... when we're step back, when we take our step back and we say, oh, you go do this at this stage and you do that at that stage, it's a lot easier to look at than when that loss is right now. When that just happened, you just stay in that denial shock stage for a little while. And then soon you get to a point where you get angry and you get confrontational and you start going, mad at someone, and then you don't know who to be mad at. So then who do you direct that anger at?
Then you lot of times we do it at ourselves, don't we?
We do it at ourselves, and but then we also do it to the guy upstairs or the men or the woman, whoever is your preferred deity. But we start blaming them. Oh, how could they do this to me? Oh, what happened? Where did I go wrong with him upstairs and things like that? And people get angry at themselves, and then they get angry at other things because they need to place blame somewhere. And it's perfectly fine and it's perfectly rational to do that. Sometimes we need to take a step back, and instead of vocalizing these things, why don't we reflect on them and journal on them and then sit with them? And that helps us process through the anger and even through the shock stage too.
It can, absolutely. And that's where we don't want to get into the practices before getting you the landscape, because you're right. Like, the denial and shock then goes into the anger. And then, boy, a lot of us, we really want to, I'll trade you. I'll give you this if you give me that.
Yeah.
Bargaining.
It's the, I would trade my life for their life type of scenarios and situations that people that almost, you go through that, the deal with the devil type of situations. And no matter what the loss is, you can always want to make that deal to better your life or better your situation for you personally at that moment and at that time. But that doesn't mean that that's something that is the right way to go.
And that's the other thing is I'm not going to use the words good or bad to describe any of these, because Dr. Kubler-Ross's phases were meant to be a picture of the landscape. Am I in the mountains or am I in the water? These are all normal, healthy, expected emotions, feelings, thoughts to have. And we're gonna give you a list online of the PDF of some of these with the practices that may help, because certain things with anger, like moving and other pieces, journaling as well, but sometimes that doesn't feel resonant, and sometimes no amount of meaning is going to make sense because you need more time.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a little more time. But the one thing that we do have to remember is to lean into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the part where, you know, the what ifs can be a place that gets you consumed in the bargaining. But also knowing that means you're searching for meaning. And that means you're progressing through the journey of grief.
Yeah.
In a way that can be meaningful if we allow it to show us spiritually what we need.
As long as we don't dwell too much on the previous stages, then we can move into that, feel into that, lean into that. And
I think the next phase is the hardest one for me, though, and where I struggle the most is that fourth phase, which is the depression or that deep grief, which I know... we name some of this as communal or collective grief, but I think for me, it's sometimes like the grief of unrealized dreams or the abandonment, the disconnection, the purpose questioning that, like you were mentioning too, the wrestling with God.
Yeah.
but more in the darkness, in the pit where you don't have a lifeline and somebody turned out the lights and is dumping water on your face. And it feels really hopeless to be in that place of kind of despair.
It does, because you can't see the options. You can't see the light. You can't see anything around you. All is darkness and there's no way out, and you're splashing around and grabbing for anything and everything, but it's not getting you anywhere. And it almost feels like you're standing in quicksand at the same time, because the more you struggle and the more things that you try to do on your own, it seems like the deeper you sink. And sometimes we just need to settle ourselves down. But it's, how do you get to that point to settle yourself?
And this is, I think, what we talk about, the communal and the collective grief a little bit, that a lot of people need as kids, and we can expect usually to be comforted by our parents when we cry, when we're sad. They're there. I'm sorry you're crying. I'll be here with you. For me, physical touch is a beautiful doorway through grief, and tears too. Our tears are very holy and they move a ton of energy. And it's so hard to cry and give myself permission to cry, at least for me. I find I can cry for 10 or 15 seconds, but then I'm telling myself subconsciously, like, better buck up, buttercup, and boys don't cry. And some of these things that are a lot of cultural things too.
That's what I was just going to say. It's cultural, or lessons that we learn and have seen others go through in our personal lives and how they've approached things. And then we just keep approaching them the same way because that's how they were taught and that's how we were taught. The men don't cry, the scenario, or the, like you said, buck up, buttercup. There's 100 different variations on that same thing, but it's always, oh, you'll get past it. Oh, you'll be fine. And we try to glaze over that. It's like we get, and people understand the shock and they understand those four parts. But when we slip down and we get ourselves into that deep hole, some people don't understand, because we were never taught as children on how to process emotions properly, process grief properly. It was, you look to any indigenous tribe across the world, and when there's a death within the tribe, it is a ritual that the whole tribe goes through together. It's not just one person left on an island to deal with on their own.
And that's one of my PSAs for memorial services or bereavement services or a funeral. Is sometimes, I understand that people don't want to be burdened, but hey, some of us want to say goodbye. And if you don't get that chance, grief is stored in the body. I see this over and over again in our practice, is that people come in with unexplained physical symptoms because they were unable to cry and let out these feelings that became trapped. And there's newer and better data showing that this is, we're seeing the mechanisms of this, but it's when we can't process it, when we get stuck.
Yep.
And either it's a mountain that's too big to climb or an ocean that drowns us, that feeling of overwhelming despair, it's important to sit in it and feel it and not move through it quicker than you're ready, I believe. Because anytime somebody hurried me along, I felt really unseen.
Because just like you're saying, we're all called at different times to process at different speeds. And like I was telling you earlier, I'm still in the middle of it. And it's getting close to a week now, and I'm still feeling everything, because that's what I'm called to do. Because
of course, those feelings are so normal, and it's so important that you spend time there. I'm proud of you for doing this work. And it takes a toll on your body. You'll feel the tiredness. You'll need extra water. Sometimes magnesium a little bit helps, because it's a lot to process. And that's what's been so amazing about even just using a little bit of a downward dog or a child's pose before bed or in your bed, just opening up some of those tight muscles. It's amazing how many emotions will be stored in there. And then the tears can come, because those kind of love, when we lose it, we should cry. We should be devastated. That's the other thing. I don't think we talk about how, like, grief needs to be felt, how important it is, and how special it is to get the privilege of feeling grief.
Because we have that learned experience that we have to process quickly.
But no, we have love. That's why we grieve, is because we love something so much.
They say that the grief is the price we pay for allowing ourselves to love somebody.
That's so true, Shaman Steve. What happens once we get through this pit?
That's when we get to when I talked briefly earlier about that void and filling that void. And so then we get to a point of acceptance or integration. So then we can start integrating these emotions and these things that we've gone through and opening ourselves up to other spiritual experiences beyond that. We can seek solace in going into nature and connecting and trying to reconnect with that lost loved one within nature. And then in that time that we talk with them and we spend that time with them in their energy, we can really figure out how to integrate and process fully the grief and the loss. So that way it doesn't well up inside of us and come back and cause us soul loss or other traumas within our lives. The trauma is there because we didn't process it properly.
Well, and trauma sometimes can be a result of grief or the cause of grief. And that's the other thing, is this is tied in with a lot of concepts. So the biggest thing that I am hearing from you as you describe this too is the acceptance is not, I'm happy with the outcome. Acceptance is that I've been able to process through the layers to get to the meaning, the juicy part in the middle.
Yeah. It's like embracing the whole idea of life and death. It's finding a new, and then having to find a new sense of connection.
Let's talk about that in the duality though, because we mentioned this in our episode on duality, is that to know the light, we have to know the darkness. To know love, we have to know grief. And they are hand in hand with each other.
Yeah, because grief affects both the heart and the soul. So that's while our emotions like sadness and anger and longing are there, the spiritual aspect of grief raises other questions that we need to process of. Why did it happen? Is there life after death? Things like that we ask ourselves in these times of great loss. These are things that in that duality form, we know we need to sit on that heart emotion side, but we also need to sit on that soul questioning existence, but then answering that through the integration stage.
But that's the other part of this, is you may not know this as you're going through it. You often will not. And this is where years later, and I think I've spoken about kind of some of my grief a little bit, but one that always comes up for me around the holidays is the loss of my grandpa, who was the patient in a medical helicopter crash that happened on our family ranch when I was a 4-year-old kid. And he was my safety. And when he died in that tragic accident, I didn't, and still struggle with finding a place for how, why that all happened. Again, I've learned that part of what has made me able to hold space for folks dealing with this kind of loss is that I've been there. And there's no way to describe the feeling that I experienced in words. You just have to be in a room with people, like when you're in EMS or law enforcement, or I'm sure the military, that you just look at each other a little different because you've been through this.
Yeah, it's that kind of unspoken bond that energy can feel, that same energy within you. You've both experienced that same thing, and it connects you through, it's a different kind of connection. It's more of one of community or shared grief or the collective support that you can only get with people that have gone through that same stuff.
And this is why I want to talk about, as we finish up and get into our practices, is how that we can sit with this lovingly and embrace the mystery. How we can sit in the unresolved long enough to allow our bodies and our emotions to show us the way and to see and ride those waves of grief. And maybe there's some more rituals too. I know fire is a beautiful way of helping us let go Do you have any ritual practices, Shaman Steve, or anything that we can start with if we're finding ourselves fresh? What has been helpful for you?
There's a lot. And with fire, it's this time of year in Michigan, it's a little bit harder, but it definitely can be done. If you can build a fire, or even if you have a candle, and sometimes doing a fire ritual is writing the things that we love about that person and giving it to the fire. We're offering those things that we enjoyed. We want to offer the world those same things back. So we're releasing our emotions and the things that we felt through this practice. And if you have a fire pit, it's obviously a lot easier to do that. Giving offerings to the fire is a good way to help manage and deal with the grief and do it on a very finite level, because as you list the things that you're offering, that now you're re-experiencing all those things. And so then that's a more shared experience with the collective.
And that's one thing, is we're all going through this journey of life, and it ends for all of us with loss, with death. And hopefully somebody will grieve when we're gone. I think that's the other beautiful thing, is if you feel this, it means you really love somebody. And I also love just lighting a candle as a process of welcoming some light, or feeling any of the memories, the spirits, the synchronicities that may come when you have these memories. Because I do think this time of year, the veil is thin. And I think sometimes folks will give you those signs when you need them.
And I, you brought up two things that I'm going to touch on real quick here. One is the veil being thin. And when we're at this point of grief and loss within our life, this is another point where that veil is super thin. And that's why I bring up the acceptance and integration stage, because that's where you can really make some profound changes and integrate into you, into yourself and into your life and into your daily practice that will honor the ones that we've lost.
And I think we were also talking about like the practice of an altar or an ofrenda, right? Our mesas, our tables, is our altar that we carry with us and unfold. But what are ways, would you want to name some of the ways that we could do that at home? Or I need a picture of Rocco to put on the line.
Not a problem. An altar can be just as simple as a picture, a letter, whatever you want it to be, and putting a candle by it, as that's as simple as an altar can get right there. And then you can always add other things to help honor whoever you lost. So you can add, if it's a family member, you can add other photos or things that they liked, things that they cherished in their life. You can put on that altar to honor them. And that altar can stay there for as long as you need it to and as long as you want it to. So, and if the candle goes out, that doesn't mean that the process is over. That just means you're ready to move to another stage, and you can still light another candle and keep the honor for that person going.
And the other thing is remembering our grief processes for us. That I do think that life goes on truly, and I think we get to continually experience it in new ways as we let go of what our idea of life is.
Yeah.
And from offerings of mementos, flowers, candles, objects that were special to them that make you remember. And I love the Jewish greeting for the bereaved. May their memory be for a blessing.
That's beautiful.
Because if we think about these lives, that we all get the chance to bring our flame down from the big light and spread it around a little bit, we hope we leave it a little brighter. And I think that's why it's so important to do this grief work and to honor the humanness of loss. Would it be okay if I close with a practice for us, Steve?
That would be great. Thank you.
I think we should just finish off today with a brief grief meditation about any unresolved losses, any despair, frustration, shame, anger, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, any of those feelings, or even acceptance if you're there, let's welcome those in now. And as you close your eyes, please don't participate if you're driving or if you're in an unsafe environment. You can join us back again on the recording and take a few deep breaths, settling in. And imagine you're staring out at an ocean. And notice how the water is shaped. Notice the sand and the shoreline. And notice the waves. Perhaps they're rising, cresting, and gently falling, or maybe it's a little more turbulent. That's it. And feel and observe this wave, imagining your grief as that wave now. That's right, without resistance, just allowing yourself to feel it. Imagine your grief as a wave that you're either seeing in front of you or feeling within you. And notice the sensation. That's right, as that wave subsides. Now visualize yourself being held in a space of love and compassion. I am not overcoming this grief. I am allowing it to be moved through me. And notice the next wave that comes. Perhaps it's similar, but maybe a little different this time. And allow yourself to feel this way fully and without any resistance. That's right, very good. And as this wave subsides, visualize yourself being held again in a space of love and compassion. I will never leave me as I experience this or other emotions. And then lastly, we'll allow one more wave. Noticing now it rising, cresting, and gently falling. And now, lastly, allow your third wave to rise fully, crest, and gently fall without resistance, allowing it to pass through you. And again, visualize yourself being held in a space of love and compassion. Breathe in this gift of the wave and breathe out, releasing the wave. And now give yourself a moment of gratitude for this practice and gently wiggle your fingers and toes, allowing yourself to come back into your body. Grief isn't something for us to overcome, but it's something to move through. And if we don't attach and we hold this feeling with gentleness, with tenderness, you may notice it comes out of your lungs. In the traditional Chinese, it's the lung meridian. So coughing, tears, wailing, sobbing, these are normal and expected. And please be gentle and hold yourself with tenderness. If these open any uncomfortable feelings and you need extra support, please reach out to a trusted mental health professional or your personal physician, as well as there's some helplines available. And we want to be a resource for you. So thank you for spending time with us today in the pit and loving after loss as we talk about our journeys with grief. I'm Dr. Ryan Christensen.
Shaman Steve.
And blessings on your day. We'll see you next time at The Still Point.